You're listening to Packers Talk Network.
Do you want to experience the thrill of a Packers game at Lambeau Field? If so, be sure to get your game ticket from the longtime trusted source in Wisconsin, Ticket King. Visit their locations in Milwaukee and Green Bay. Or just go to their website at TicketKing.com. Again, that's at TicketKing.com.
Throws it up in the air, says a prayer, and Jan Exter's on it.
Stop it!
Oh, please! What a cat! That's insane!
You're listening to the best Packer radio show on the internet.
Cheesehead Radio.
Reach the eye.
Get those back.
So I think that's the logical explanation.
Let's just, you know, say that didn't happen.
It was a return to greatness. It was a return to form.
It's crazy. And he just kind of flew under the radar.
Get this out there so I sound good on Cheesehead Radio.
Yeah.
No negativity allowed, sir.
So I think that's actually going to be really exciting to watch. I don't think there's anything positive we can say. There's a lot.
Oh, you were looking for positive.
Yeah.
I guess that's what I meant. Positive, I
yeah.
think. Welcome back, Packers fans, to Cheesehead Radio, our second show of this 2016 season. Your hosts tonight are the usual crew, C. D'Angeli, the nerdy creator of words from PackersTalk.com and Cheesehead TV, Michelle Bruton, the nerdy but delightful reporter for Bleacher Report and Cheesehead TV, Jamie Snowden is nerdy but and absent tonight, so that's a double whammy for Jamie. And then you have me, Jersey Al. I'm not quite sure how nerdy I am, but I am with Cheesehead TV and Packers Talk. Tonight we have a special guest. We're back to having guests on the show, our usual routine. Tonight we have Zach Halperin of the Wisconsin Sports Zone Network and 106.7 FM in beautiful Madison, Wisconsin. He'll be joining us a little bit later to talk some Packers and maybe even a little Wisconsin Badgers tonight. And let me also mention that sponsoring the Packers Talk Network this year are the fine folks at Ticket King. They have been selling Packers, Badgers, and other tickets in Wisconsin for just short of 25 years and have earned an excellent reputation for customer service and prices. Excuse me. Be sure to check out their website, theticketking.com. That's theticketking.com. And now it's time for the news.
Packers News.
In breaking news that is sure to be the highlight of your week this week, Jordy Nelson passed his physical on Wednesday and has therefore been activated from the PUP list. He is cleared to return to practice, so his activity will certainly be limited heading into the season opener.
And fan favorite wide receiver Jeff Janis underwent surgery to repair his fractured right hand and says that his recovery will take at least 4 to 6 weeks. He injured the hand in practice on August 10th.
The NFL has warned Clay Matthews and Julius Peppers that if they don't interview with investigators concerning a report of performance-enhancing drug use by Al Jazeera before August 26, they will be suspended. The NFL Players Association has urged the two Packers, along with former Packers linebacker Mike Neal and Steelers linebacker James Harrison, to refuse to interview.
Aaron Rodgers, who has been taking almost all his reps with the scout team this week, may not play Thursday night against the Oakland Raiders. If I do play, it won't be a whole lot, Rodgers told reporters this week.
The Packers will pay the University of Wisconsin $3 million to play LSU at Lambeau Field. The Badgers are set to take on the Tigers on September 3rd in the Lambeau Field College Classic. The money goes to Wisconsin's athletic department and is about what the Badgers would net for a home game back in Madison.
Speaking of the Lambeau Field College Classic, ESPN officially announced Wednesday that it will kick off the college game day season at Lambeau with the University of Wisconsin-LSU game. ESPN set will be east of South Oneida Street if you want to check them out.
Reserve offensive lineman and practice squad holdover Matt Rothrum, who was signed as an undrafted free agent out of Pittsburgh in 2015, suffered a bicep injury in the first preseason game against the Cleveland Browns. Rothrum wouldn't confirm if he tore the bicep, but he did indicate that at one point the swelling was so bad that, quote, his arm looked like his calf.
Ouch. Well, because Rothrum joins Corey Linsley and undrafted free agent Jacob Flores, as centers currently down for the count, The Packers added depth at the position on Sunday by signing center Kyle Streak. Is that how you say that?
Streak.
Who is from Green Bay and played at West DePere High School, participated in the Packers rookie minicamp this spring.
And that was your Packers news. And now it's time for your
Packer Tweets from Packer Tweets.
And with the Packers going through practices in the heat with 80-plus percent humidity, Jagged Little Phil noted our GM's interesting choice of outerwear by saying, also, interesting decision by Ted Thompson to wear a hoodie sweatshirt on an 85-degree day. Stay hydrated, Ted. Stay hydrated.
It's not been a good week for the NFL head honchos, especially if you're a Packers fan. Our friend, the Packer Ranter, touches on this with this gem. Pro Football Hall of Fame Senior Selection Committee is as competent as their field painters.
Yes, and unfortunately, that tweet means that Jerry Kramer, despite all the best efforts of Packers Nation, was passed over once again for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Our old friend John Rehor sums up the feelings of Packer Nation when he tweeted, "One place Jerry Kramer will always be is in the hearts of Packers fans. Don't need any vote to verify that."
And finally, Badger Noonan gives us our best tweet of the week, this one in the form of a poll. Says Badger Noonan, "Will Jordy Nelson be able to adequately fill in for Jeff Janis? The final vote, 53-47% yes. I hope that's within the margin of error."
Me too, Michelle. And that was definitely this week's Cheesehead Radio Tweet of the Week.
Tweet of the Week.
You are nerdy, Al, just in case you were wondering. I just wanted to clarify.
I didn't want to give myself that title if I really hadn't, earned it. So, okay.
You got it. You're good. How are we doing this week, guys?
Okay. We are doing great.
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 Absolutely.
Although I'm a little worried about that poll in that last tweet. The vote was really that close, huh?
It was that close.
Okay. I guess a lot of wise guys expert out there, huh?
Well, I can tell you, thanks to our good friends over at Ticket King, I did attend the Packer game last week at Lambeau Field. Good times. It was an interesting game to watch, although I was also managing a couple of teenage kids around me, so wasn't always able to watch as carefully as I want. But what would you guys say around the horn? What stood out last week to you guys, positive or negative? Obviously, not everyone was playing, or we saw some limited playing time here and there. What did you guys think of the game?
Go ahead,
you
Michelle.
Guys know what I'm going to say.
Go ahead. Say it.
You know it's coming.
Yes, I know.
Let's talk about which player scored the only Packers touchdown of the entire game. Who?
I did think of you.
CD, you're supposed to have background music when she's saying that. Come on.
I'll work at it.
A little exciting music, you know?
I was just very pleased that fresh off me saying John Crockett brings a change of pace to the backfield because he can catch passes out of the backfield, there he was catching a 2-yard touchdown pass. It was poetic, really. I couldn't have written it any better.
I'm never going to forget your rationalization for why he's a good player.
He's just great.
just great.
He's great.
He's so dreamy.
From my mouth to Ted Thompson's ears.
I could come up with another Monty Python joke here, but you wouldn't get that one either, so never mind. I'm gonna have to start watching Adam Sandler movies, I think, to say things that you guys understand.
Us millennials, yeah.
Yeah, you millennials. You too, CD.
Yeah. Jersey, yeah. What was a positive for you?
A positive for me? A couple of positives. I'm one of those, well, I guess I'm nerdy in this way. I do watch the offensive line a lot. I am an offensive line nerd, and I was watching Jason Spriggs a lot, and he did really very well, especially in the first half. I think he played pretty much the whole game, so I think he did get a little tired there towards the end and had a few hiccups. But that first half, He was right on. I mean, his pass blocking was flawless. Run blocking, you know, as expected, it's still going to be a little iffy until he gets a little bigger and stronger in another year or two. But I was very pleased to see the way he played. Found it interesting that Dean Lowry started the game. You know, he was a starter, and he played quite a bit and played very well, you know, over some other folks that they had drafted previous years, like Ringo and some other guys. So that was interesting to see. And another thing that stood out for me was Kentrell Bryce, who really I admittedly knew very little about, other than he was, you know, a safety on the Packers roster. The kid looked really good. He was very active, flying to the ball, always involved in the play. I'm going to be keeping my eye on him this week. And that was it for me.
I was rather impressed with the creativity of our field painters and how they put that extra white line around the end zone so that it fooled quarterbacks into thinking perhaps they couldn't tell which line was actually the out-of-bounds marker. Because I think every single one of those safeties happened right in front of me. But at least we won that battle like 2-1. So, well, pretty clever there. I also was impressed with Eddie Lacy. I mean, I know he only got a couple carries at the beginning of the game, but it's just seeing him up and moving. You know, we hadn't seen him really moving at all. Just the fact that he got out there is a positive note. Nothing against Mr. Crockett whatsoever.
You don't think we have a running back controversy on our hands? Push Lacy for the top halfback spot.
Honestly, if Eddie Lacy plays like he did last year, yes, we probably would. But I'm not hoping for that. How does that sound?
No.
So can life go on without Jeff Janis? Are we going to live?
We're going to find out. At least for a little
apparently,
while.
Apparently, per the poll, people aren't so sure.
That was the funniest thing. That was the funniest thing. 53-47. Shut up. And of course, you really hope that Jordy comes back at 100%. I think you're really hoping that he is the same player he was 2 years ago. We hope the offense is what it was 2 years ago. But Jeff Janis, immortalized forever with that Hail Mary. Maybe there'll be another statue out in front of Lambeau Field we can take our picture in front of. I don't know.
I do think, in all seriousness, with Jeff Janis, the thing that I always really liked about him and that he really brings to the roster is just his size. I mean, except for Jordy, we didn't really have another player on the Packers roster who was upwards of 6'3", you know, 220-ish pounds. And that kind of size, especially in the red zone, obviously, is such an asset. So with Jordy out, I feel like Janis really filled that void. But now we have Mr. 6'4", 200-pound Geronimo Allison on the roster.
Geronimo!
Geronimo!
Oh, I can't wait for that to be a thing. I can't wait.
Trying to make a sting for that. I can make a sting for that also.
Well, let's wait till he makes the roster first. See? Let's not put the effort in yet on an undrafted free agent.
It's a lot of work, let me tell you. On a sad note, and I guess I do want to touch on this, but I want to hear your thoughts on it first, of course, chatting a little bit with Alicia Kramer this week. And, of course, Jerry not making it. And I think it was very disappointing because I think we had some glimmers of hope that this was going to be the year or next year was going to be the year. Like, it was there. And Kenny Easley, whom I'm sure that Michelle and I are not old enough to even remember at all. I can't remember him. Is the guy who makes the Hall of Fame, Jerry Kramer, in what has to be probably one of the most blatant shows of ignorance ever, is still sitting out there. So little thoughts from you. Let's start, Jersey Al. What's your thoughts?
You know, I don't think it's ignorance at this point.
I do.
Okay. Well, do you want to give your opinion first then?
No, I'll just interrupt.
Okay.
Just
all right. As usual. No, I really don't think it's ignorance so much as I think at this point, I think the pressure that's been put on them and the outcry almost makes it feel like, well, we're not going to do it because then it'll look like we did it for those reasons. You know, I'm kind of starting to feel that. I didn't feel that in past years, but at this point, like you said, there were glimmers of hope, there were inklings, there were reports from people who talked to people who thought this would be the year, and then once again, no. So I think it's it may get maybe at that point where it's almost a conscious effort to not give in to the pressure and look like that's what you did and you caved. I don't know. It's a new theory I just came up with.
I guess I have to wonder if there's not sort of a, I don't want to say a bias against, but kind of a wariness about the Lombardi Packers, just in the sense of, I've heard a lot of people say, well, at a certain point, if you have, you know, a dozen guys from the same era, then how can you say that Lombardi was one of the greatest of all time if he had an entire roster full of Hall of Famers? So I don't know. I wonder if there's almost, the tide is turning against the Lombardi era players a little bit, just in the sense of there's already so many of them in the Hall. And I don't know if that has anything to do with it, but you do kind of, I sort of agree with you, Alan, that I don't know that it can be ignorance, both because of all of the awareness that we've helped raise and that everyone else has raised, but also just because, I mean, they have to be living in a hole to not recognize the argument for Kramer. So it, you do have to wonder what other mitigating factors are swaying the decision.
For my, and I messaged this to Alicia this week, and I do mean it sincerely. I know Alicia said that this is it. She's not going to go anywhere. I'm not sure I believe her. Alicia's a pretty dedicated young lady, and I think it's going to take a lot to, you know, have her stop. But if you think about it, millennials like Michelle and I, the campaign that has been run, the awareness that has been run, may not have worked to get him into the Hall, but there are generations now of Packers fans who did not see the Lombardi era Packers play, who now have Jerry Kramer on the tip of their tongue, who are actively rooting for Jerry Kramer, even though they never saw him play on the field. So, you know, yeah, going back to Ray Horace's tweet, sure, he didn't get in the Hall again this year, but what we've done is we've created a tremendous legacy for Jerry Kramer in the heart of Packers fans when, like I said, there are players who are just names and a number up on a board, but we all know Jerry Kramer. Many of us have talked to Jerry Kramer. We're rooting for him as if he were actually still playing today, and I think that's a tremendous legacy that Alicia and I think a lot of us in the Packer blogosphere and the Twitterverse have really done. So it's a good thing.
Interesting.
Interesting. Well, why don't you guys pick a topic?
Had to ponder that one.
I liked it, but
well,
pick
like
a topic.
You like insinuate gate too, so what does that tell you?
I like what? Say that again?
You like insinuate gate also, so what does that mean?
Exactly.
Okay. All right. Let's go back to my favorite guy of this camp, good old Geronimo Allison. Great, just a great article by Ryan Wood, PackerNews.com. Everybody should check that out. Going back and kind of went through his life history, some of the hardships that he had to overcome, and really kind of a tough road that he overcame to get to where he is, not just to get to be in an NFL training camp, but to be a college graduate when he had all types of academic issues as a younger man. Just a really heartwarming story to read, and really only made me want to root for him even more after reading that. So, for all you Packer fans out there, check out PackerNews.com. Great article by Ryan Wood. Did you happen to see it, Michelle?
I did, and I love the long-form style of journalism that you just don't really get to see a lot anymore, given our age of, you know, instant clicks and limited attention spans. And even this by Ryan wasn't true long-form. I mean, it wasn't, you know, pages and pages, but it was a really great sort of nuanced and impeccably researched piece. And just, yeah, like you said, there's such a heartwarming story behind Geronimo's whole career. And I don't want to spoil it for those who haven't read the article yet, but just reading about how he got his amazing name is just like a really great story too. So just a really, really interesting player overall. Someone I definitely think will at least get to the practice squad, and, you know, who knows what could happen in terms of the final roster, just depending on injuries, injured reserve, things like that. But
right, right. We'll see if he makes it. And speaking of what could happen, I think I feel something happening right now, like maybe a special guest.
From the Wisconsin Sports Zone Network, Zach Helprin.
All right, welcoming back, after a way too long absence in the Cheesy Studio, Zach, how you doing, my friend?
I'm doing great, guys. Yeah, it's been a while. I think I was on with you guys back in, what, 2012? Maybe it was in 2013. But, yeah, it's been a while. Glad to be back.
Yeah, excellent. Well, we got Michelle and Jersey Al here, and happy to hear about your new gig down at Wisconsin Sports Zone Network down in Madison. So a little more Badger coverage for you, huh?
Yeah, a little more Badger coverage, which is what I had been doing for ESPN Wisconsin for 3 years after leaving the Packers beat. And I'm excited, actually, because I get to do some Packers stuff again, which I'll be at the game tomorrow, and we'll be covering a bunch of stuff throughout the year. So, yeah, Badgers, Packers, it's a football state, and I love football. So it's a really good mix for me.
Perfect. Well, let's start out talking a little bit about the Packers, and I'll just hit you with a nice general question here. How the equation is working out. The Packers came off a tough season last year, particularly on offense. Some dysfunction in the ranks, possibly, but it seemed like Eddie Lacy is running fairly well. Jordy has just been taken off the PUP list. Aaron Rodgers hasn't played yet. Is it too early to tell exactly what you think is, if this offense is going to return to 2014 form yet?
You know what? Over the past year, really since Jordy's injury, we've been talking about how big of an impact he can have on an offense. And this is a question I think that a lot of people are asking, is he that good of a player that it goes from a top 10 offense to a, you know what, they were 23rd in total yards last year. Is it that big of a factor? And I struggle to think that that's all that it was. There's so much more that goes into it. So I don't think just getting him back is it. Eddie Lacy being in a better shape is it. Mike McCarthy, you know, being fully involved in play calling from the beginning and not, you know, spreading his time around, doing what you're good at. I think that's the greatest thing about whenever you do whatever business you do, do what you're best at. Mike McCarthy, he's best at calling play. That was what he did best, what one of his biggest values for the Packers. And, you know, I don't think jumping back into it in the middle of towards the end of last season was really, you know, it did not work out the way it was supposed, you know, that everybody thought maybe it would. It's a full-time process that has to start in the offseason and build it up. So all those things I think will help, but it all comes down to me, and it always has, is injuries. This team has been bitten by injuries more than any, it feels like it's been bitten by injuries more than anybody else, especially offensively. If they stay healthy on offense, their offense should be back to where it was, you know, previously. And I really do feel that way. Now, is Aaron Rodgers the same player that he was in 2011 or even 2014? Maybe not, and maybe he doesn't need to be. But if they stay healthy, this team is as good as any in the NFL on offense. But that,
all right,
but again, how often does that happen? We talk about it all every year. When's the last time it happened?
Hey, Zach, it's Michelle. So I've been a longtime Twitter follower of yours, and I saw that you were retweeting some fire earlier today with the various tweets by TJ Lang and others in regards to the Al Jazeera allegations. You had one retweet that was really interesting. Kurt Menefee actually tweeted the original tweet, and then TJ Lang retweeted that. Menefee basically had said that by threatening suspension for not cooperating with the league for unsubstantiated claims like this, the NFL has made it easier for the public to blackmail players. And I just wanted to dig a little bit, you know, you've covered college athletes and pro athletes. You've talked with these players a lot. Can you just share your thoughts and opinion on why this process becomes so problematic from the player's perspective? You know, they've got the NFLPA advising them one thing. They've got the CBA sort of allowing certain other things to happen. Why is this so problematic from their point of view?
Yeah, and I thought, you know, I think Kurt Menefee hit it right in the head, and TJ Lang as well. And it was something that was kind of something that I thought throughout this entire process. Why are you going to allow these unsubstantiated rumors to all of a sudden bring an NFL investigation and totally throw everything for a loop? And we've seen opinions from a bunch of different people. And I think Mike Freeman from Bleacher Report probably wrote it best. And he wrote it from a perspective of, you know, as a player, as a fan, and it was kind of over the top, right? I mean, he was talking about how the guy in a city who didn't like a star player from the other city came and said that, you know, baseless charges, but the NFL took them, and then they had to go, or they went to a news station. The guy went to a news station. They reported the story. The NFL looked into it. Then the guy's like, oh, no, I don't, you know, I didn't say that, or they didn't say that, and nothing happened here. But the NFL still pursues it, and how that could come. Now, that's a little bit over the top, but from the player's perspective, is it? Because, I mean, you have these guys that are, especially in Green Bay, they're kings, right? And they've got people all grabbing at them from all different directions, and you don't know who to trust. You don't know who is on your side and who's not on your side. And so I think from a player's perspective, it's very scary that all of a sudden a guy who you may not have any connections with whatsoever is accusing you of this. And from a player's perspective, that's exactly what would scare you. Like, these people come out of the woodwork. The NFL and the money that's involved and everything like that, they come out of the woodwork. College football is a little bit different, but there's still the same concerns, with people latching on to kids, specifically agents and that type of thing, and potentially ruining their eligibility or stealing, or taking their money. There's a whole bunch of different aspects to it from a player's perspective. But I'd be very, very scared if they allow this to go through like it is, of something potentially happening in the future like this, where the accusations are baseless.
Right. And to follow on that a little bit, Aaron Rodgers had a really great quote where he said basically that in some ways the players have kind of contributed to letting this happen because of the way they negotiated the CBA. And so they sort of have to protect themselves and protect their own best interests through the CBA.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. And this, goes back to really every ruling that we've seen, right? I mean, go back to 2011. We all wanted football, and the players wanted football too. And it wasn't – I don't know so much it was the star players, but it was the players that live on those game checks that need that money, that, they needed to play football. And I think there was a large portion of people that wanted to get back on the field. They got some stuff out of that, the CBA for sure, the players did. But the owners overwhelmingly, it seems, won that, and we're seeing it continually now with what the power of the commissioner is. We're seeing that it seems like every other week with a new case popping up here or there. But the players do. They only have themselves to blame for this, and are they going to have the strength when the CBA comes up again as a union? Are they going to have the strength to hold out or to go on strike and not even go on strike, because there's not going to be, there wouldn't be a contract, but not even, take part and hold out till you get some of your power back? And I don't know if that union, which I think is of all the unions in sports, probably the weakest, and it's also the biggest.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know how you get a whole group of players, because there's, we have our Aaron Rodgers and we have, the Tom Brady's and all like that, but there's 35 guys on every team that are not making the kind of money that they can, that everybody else is. And so can you get those guys to save money and not have to worry about getting a game check every week? I don't know if you can.
Okay. Hey, Zach, this is Al.
Hey, Al.
Hey, first, let me thank you once more for the voiceover help you gave us. It was a great job, much, much appreciated, and CD owes you a few beers, so just knock on his door tomorrow night. I'll private message you his address, and you can collect on that, okay?
His line of Googles.
All right, back to the questions. Now, from all reports, the Packers sure seem to have quite a logjam at the wide receiver position, even with Jeff Janis injured. I threw out the idea just for fun today that it's possible Janis gets put on IR as a convenient way to buy time for the Packers to sort out the receiver position. Well, I got pretty roundly shot down with the he's too valuable on special teams argument. How do you feel
right
about that?
I'm not. I think I've gone back and forth on people on Twitter. I really like Jeff Janis. I'm not a huge fan of all the hype around Jeff Janis. He is a very good special teams player, right? But is that you have Chris Banjo, who's essentially a special teams player. You can play him on defense a little bit. But how many guys can you have solely committed to special teams? And we'll see how long he's out with the wrist injury. But are you talking about IR or IR to return?
Both, but just for fun, I put out there just IR, so out for the season.
Yeah, no, I, Jeff, yeah, I think Jeff Janis, what he did in the playoffs was great, but are you really going to want to hold a roster spot for that? I struggle with that, especially with the logjam they do have at the receiver position, because you have Nelson, you have Cobb, you have Davante Adams, you have Trevor Davis, you have Jared Haberdarris, you have Geronimo Allison, who I love. I love Geronimo Allison. He doesn't have the speed. He doesn't have the speed to get over the. Yeah, he doesn't have the speed to go over the top. But I was talking to Sojourn Shelton, who is a cornerback for Wisconsin, who played against him twice, and he could not rave any higher of him. He thought he was great. Said you put the ball anywhere close to him, he's going to catch it. He's just got such a long wingspan, and you know he can catch every ball. Now he didn't get drafted largely because he can't. You know, I think he ran like a 4.7 or 4.67 or something like that at the combine. It wasn't good.
4.67.
So he doesn't have the ability to go over the top. But I love him, and I really like Jared Haberdarris too. So I could see, and I wouldn't poo-poo on that idea, Al.
I found a fan, finally.
I think Jeff Janis is very valuable on special teams, but do you hold a roster spot simply for that? Because how big of a help can he be at wide receiver with everybody else?
That was exactly my point. Do you take one very valuable spot out of that 53 for a gunner? Or do you find someone else who can be a gunner on your roster?
I don't, simply because six guys, it's just – and none of them, I don't think any of them make it to the practice squad. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think Geronimo Allison makes it to the practice squad. I think he gets picked up by somebody else. And I don't – you're not going to cut your fifth-round pick in Trevor Davis. So, you know, unless you're willing to cut Janis loose, which I don't think they are, the IR kind of makes sense if that's what they want to do.
All right. You made my day.
I'm here for you.
Thanks.
All right, Zach, I'm hoping you're here for me too. I need you to settle a tie. We like to officially name this whole business with Peppers and Matthews Insinuate Gate. How do you feel about that term? And do you think it's usable and we can make that permanent?
Uh-oh. So I'd be going against Al here, it sounds like. You know what? I actually kind of like it. We always have to have a gate, right? Like it has to be something gate, and we'll throw it in here. And yeah, I'll insinuate gate, like as in you're insinuating that they did something wrong if they don't talk. Is that essentially what's the insinuating part of it?
It's just the whole thing. Someone insinuates there's a problem, then he recants it. Yep. Now we're going to insinuate there's a problem. If you don't interview, we're going to suspend you. It's just a lot of insinuation. I want you to bring it to your morning meeting tomorrow morning. I want you to spitball it. And I'm not even going to charge you copyright for it. Yeah.
I'll bring that up, and I'll definitely give credit if they're okay. If they like it, I'll give credit.
You will never hear the end of it if you do. That would be a big mistake.
I think the word insinuate has lost all meaning. Repeated it so many times.
What are you insinuating? Anyway.
Anyway.
Yeah.
So anyway, my question is, actually back with this whole deal, we lose a little bit on Mike Neal in the situation, and it kind of came out a couple days ago that there were some falsehoods in some of his written reports that came out of this, and I remember some people saying, oh, good luck this guy ever signing with another team now that he, you know, is no longer with the Packers. But has this had any effect, do you think, you know, that the way Mike Neal handled the situation and kind of – and maybe there's an extra spotlight on him because of that. Is this having an effect on what's happening with Matthews and Peppers now? Because it seems like Peyton kind of just went in and said it's all good, and they said fine last year. So
kind of with the NFL. I mean, the NFL is saying that it's having an impact on it, right? They're saying that, look, Mike Neal lied in the brief or the what's it called? I'm legally the statements that they made to the NFL. He lied into it, and they're saying, you know, these other guys, if they're lying, you know, and we need to be able to ask them questions about what they're saying in these statements, you know, and so the thing about Mike Neal is, and I was thinking about this when I saw that the other day, maybe it was yesterday, is I remember talking to him back in 2012 when the suspension came down, and he was adamant and he was upset about it because it was for Adderall, and he had not gotten cleared for it. He would later be cleared for it, and he ended up taking it, you know, throughout his rest of his time in Green Bay. So he appealed it first, and he was denied, and then he tried to appeal it again because there was another case that got appealed and got overturned, and so he tried to appeal again. He was adamant that he did nothing wrong, and so when he's probably writing that, he's thinking, I got screwed the first time. You know, I don't think I did anything wrong. The first time it was Adderall. It was, you know, it was something I was prescribed, but I wasn't, you know, it wasn't registered with the league. And so, you know, he probably hurt himself in that respect, but it does. It has a huge impact on the rest of the guys because you're looking at it and saying, all right, this guy lied or, you know, wasn't truthful. What are these guys lying about? And we need to be able to ask them questions. So it certainly has had an impact on the rest of the guys for sure.
And I guess just to follow up a little bit with it, Zach, do you see them going forward and doing this? I mean, this is, you got the union saying absolutely don't do it. This is a game of chicken right now. What's going to happen?
Yeah. Wouldn't we all like to know, you know? I mean, it's one of those things where I can see both sides of it. I can see the league or the union and the players not trusting them. You look at all the investigations that have gone on with the NFL, that'd be very difficult for me to trust them. On the other hand, I look at it from Matthews and Pepper's perspective, and I sit there and say, if I did nothing wrong, it doesn't matter what questions they ask me. We'll have the lawyers. We'll go in there. We'll talk to them. We won't answer questions. Well, you know, we'll have our lawyers. We won't answer questions that, you know, that they don't want, that we don't want to answer, or the ones that are, you know, leading or whatever it is, and do it. But there's so many angles. And I loved it when Ted Thompson said yesterday in his press conference, he was saying, you know, there's so much to this that people in this room, and he was talking to the media, the people in this room don't even know about, and I don't even know about. So there is so much to this and so many different angles from it that it just kind of boggles the mind. It really does when you're trying to think of all the different angles and all the different things that could happen when it comes to whether you go there or you don't go there. And I was listening to Andrew Brandt earlier today, and he said that he thinks they are going to go in, and I've seen other people say there's no way they're going to go in and they're going to take it to court. So, I mean, this could really go either way, and it could have a huge, huge impact on the Packers season.
All right. Thanks a lot.
So I wanted to ask you, off the heels of the exciting announcement that ESPN College Game Day will be kicking off its season at Lambeau Field for the Lambeau Field College Classic. So talking with the Badgers players a little bit, do you have a sense for, is anyone really excited to be playing at Lambeau Field? Who's the most excited to be playing there? Is anyone sort of angling to get drafted by the Packers next year? How are the players feeling about that whole thing?
Yeah, they had an opportunity to go up there during the spring to visit. They practiced at the Don Hudson Center, and then they went over, and they couldn't really run the field because the Lambeau folks, as soon as the game was over, you cannot step on that grass. They have signs up. You can't walk in the grass. And so players couldn't walk in the grass, but they were doing Lambeau leaps and that type of stuff. But I mean, it's really special for, you know, several guys, specifically Alec Ingold, who is from Green Bay. He went to one of the Green Bay high schools, and now I'm really embarrassed that I can't remember which high school it was, but he's a fullback for Wisconsin, and he's actually neighbors with Jordy Nelson. And so he was telling me today about how Jordy, like during, you know, Halloween, they would walk up the door and they were all worried about it. It was Jordy Nelson. He comes out with just these handfuls of candy, just piling it in the kids' bags and everything like that. And so he's excited, obviously, to go back. It's Green Bay Bayport. There you go. So he's excited to go back and play there. And then Dario Gumbawale, who is as big a Packers fan as there is on that team, he obviously very excited to go up there and play. You guys remember this in 2013 when Aaron Rodgers came back and threw the game-winning touchdown to Randall Cobb. There was a video of the Badger players watching that game down in I believe it was Orlando when they were getting ready for the Capital One Bowl. And Dario Gumbawale is jumping all over the place. He's just going absolutely insane. And so he is one of those kids that's so jacked about being able to go up there and play on that field. And so there's a bunch. They have so many Wisconsin kids on that team. And it doesn't even have to be a Wisconsin kid. You know what I mean? Because Lambeau Field, like, it was one thing when they went down to Texas Stadium and played down there 2 years ago. I mean, it's special. You're playing in the NFL an NFL stadium. Did the same thing last year when they went to AT&T, but Lambeau's different. It's not just an NFL stadium. It's a destination for football fans. And so I know there's going to be a ton of LSU people up there, and I know the Wisconsin fans are excited about going up there, but the kids, this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, I'm sure, for many of them to be able to go up and play there. And so, yeah, they're jacked about it for sure.
Yeah, Lambeau Field alone, let alone playing on ESPN College Game Day, it's like a double whammy bucket list ordeal.
And playing against the top, top 10 team that, yeah, you know, is going to be one of the better teams in the country. You have it can't get too much better for Wisconsin.
All right. We've been talking to Zach Halperin of the Wisconsin Sports Zone Network. Zach, we're going to throw one more question your way and then let you get on with the rest of your evening.
All right. Sounds good.
All right. So the Packers in the game against Cleveland seem to be emphasizing the tight end position, with Jared Cook and Justin Perillo probably standing out the most. Could this be McCarthy's master plan if the Packers' wide receivers go into a funk like last year?
You know, one of my favorite players to cover and actually favorite players to watch was JaMychal Finley. I know he was kind of a lightning rod among fans, certainly with the drops and some of the things he said, but the ability that he offered in the middle of the field, you know, was something the Packers desperately needed. And Jared Cook, what we saw a little bit in practice, for those that were there, saw it in practice, I was not, but from what we've heard there, and then in the game, I think he offers that, and they haven't had that. I mean, the closest thing they had to it was Andrew Corliss, and, you know, really with the leg injury, he never got back to that guy. I don't even think it's the wide receivers. It's the ability to take the emphasis off the wide receivers. You have to actually cover the middle of the field now, right? I mean, you have to be able to you have to cover your tight ends down the field. You have to stretch your defense. I was talking to a coach the other day, and he was saying how they want to be able to throw the deep ball. Well, it's very similar to having to deal with the tight end, having to deal with the deep ball, having to deal with out routes. Make the defense cover the entire field. And for so often, Green Bay, you know, had been able to do that. Last year, they didn't do that at all. Richard Rodgers, did you see what his per catch average was? I mean, it was horrible. It was it was below 9. And Jared Cook's never been below 11. So those and JaMychal Finley was never that low either. So those are the type of guys that this offense, I think, can use, and it can make them, you know, dangerous and make them more dangerous. So I don't even know if it's the wide receivers don't step up, but it's the idea of making a defense cover the entire field, which I don't think, and I believe, did not happen last year. No one was worried about Richard Rodgers going over the top of them. And you have to be worried about that with Jared Cook.
Agreed.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, we've been talking with Zach Halperin. Zach, can you tell us, tell our listeners where, if they want to hear or read any of your stuff, where are they going to go to?
Yeah, the new website, we're posting all our Badger stuff and Packer stuff as well, is at madcitysportzone.com. You can hear me on the Zone as well as a bunch of our affiliates throughout the state, you know, doing different things. Still finding a little bit of a niche, you know, with the new job, but I'm certainly excited to be covering Packers and Badgers, and certainly appreciate you guys having me on.
Absolutely. And, you know, definitely we wish you the best of luck. You're certainly one of our favorites, and we expect you to make some big stuff out of here. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're driving through Madison, you need to turn your radio dial to 106.7 FM and give these guys a listen. They're doing a great job down there. Zach, thanks so much for joining us here tonight.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot.
Radio. All right. Have a good one, sir.
All right. Bye, Zach.
Yep. Have a good night. Okay. I didn't realize it had been that long since we had him on.
Apparently.
Well, we
it
really
seems like
dropped
we used
the
to
ball.
Have him on all the time. I guess so. No, we won't have to make that mistake again, will we?
No. He's a good friend of the show. We can't do that.
All right. Absolutely.
Anyway.
All right. Well, let's take it around the horn here. It is getting close to an hour into the show. Any last shots, big things you want to talk about? Let's start with Michelle. Last shot. And you cannot talk about Crockett.
last thought. I have to say, I'm a little bit worried about center depth. I mean, aren't you guys?
I feel like they're going down
like flies. I mean, yeah, of course, if everyone gets healthy, just given the players on the roster right now, it's not a big problem. But now you've got Lindsey Rothrum and this free agent, Jacob Flores, all injured. I don't know. That's a little bit worse. I mean, we've seen how good this offensive line can be when the starting five are healthy and how quickly things fall apart when you start having to sub in one or two guys. So I don't know. That's something I'm going to be keeping an eye on, I think.
All right. Jersey Al, last shot.
Yes, last shot. Well, I'm just looking ahead to the game tomorrow night against Oakland. I'm really curious to see how some of the young tackles, Jason Spriggs, and I think Kyle Murphy is probably going to get his first game action too. See if they end up getting lined up against Khalil Mack and Bruce Irvin and see how that works out. that should be a nice litmus test of where they are in their development. So I'll be looking for that.
All right, and my last shot, probably not a popular opinion, but, you know, Zach even mentioned, well, you know, if you haven't done anything, it's this whole thing of deciding whether you want to go talk to the NFL or not, or you know, to draw attention to yourself in it. But I guess, you know, there's that nagging thing we have to think about, is that what if there was something, and this is the equivalent of, hey, you need a search warrant. So I'm hoping it doesn't go there, but I said a lot of us are presuming innocence, as we do, say, with Ryan Braun. We did that for quite a while and presumed and defended him to the end. You hope that's not happening, but to me, I think that's something I'm just going to remain cautious and not get myself too excited one way or the other and just let this play out.
And I think also you have to draw a distinction between – you have to remember how broad the definition of performance-enhancing drugs are. So even if, like you say, you know, we are presuming innocence where innocence doesn't exist, there's a big difference between steroids and pain medication, you know? And so
right.
I think it's remembering, too, that there's a whole spectrum of things that it could be that aren't necessarily all nefarious.
Absolutely. All right, let's get to our Packer game predictions.
Cheesehead Radio, Packers game predictions.
It's a Thursday night game. What's going to happen tomorrow night? Michelle, your prediction for tomorrow night.
At the risk of becoming repetitive, I think John Crockett does it again. Another touchdown.
I think another two touchdowns, perhaps.
Whoa, doubling down.
Hey, this is Michelle's prediction, not yours.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm trying to help her with hers. She seemed a little off.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how about we go one rushing, one receiving?
Oh,
there we go. Perhaps he's going to pick up a fumble on a punt or something, too. I think that would be good.
Yeah.
Jersey Al, what's your prediction?
Yes. Oh, Ted Thompson will give old friend Reggie McKenzie a big hug before the game as they get together and reminisce of how things were back when they were working together.
That's
very
nice.
Good. I'm C.D. Angeli, and I predict a nondescript game that hopefully will be free of injury. That's pretty much what it was last week. So good to see, but yeah, until they start getting those starters in there, it's just – it's a good workout to see who's going to be cut and who's going to sit on the practice squad. So looking good. So time to take it out. Are you guys ready?
All right. We are ready.
Here we go.
Do it.
Okay. Thank you all so much for joining us tonight on Cheesehead Radio. And thank you to Zach Halperin of Wisconsin Sports Zone. Be sure to head on over to PackersTalk.com where you can explore several unique Packers podcasts. Please follow at PackersTalkNet on Twitter. And please, please, please like the Packers Talk Network on Facebook. And the reason you got three pleases is we're only 6 likes away from reaching 10,000. I'd love to say we have a special prize for number 10,000, but unfortunately that's not the case. But just do it out of the kindness of your hearts anyway. Cheesehead Radio and all Packers Talk podcasts are available on iTunes. Just Google Packers Talk iTunes and you will find it. Be sure to subscribe and please leave us a review if you can. You can also listen by using Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, or whatever your favorite podcatching app is. Finally, be sure to support our sponsor, Ticket King. You can find them on the web at theticketking.com. That's theticketking.com. That's a wrap, everybody. Go Packo.
Go Packo. We'll talk to you next week here on Cheesehead Radio.